Welcome to the NORATH News Network, an EverQuest podcast. Hello, Questers, and welcome to the NORATH News Network. I'm your host, Aylwin, and with me is my co-host, Lagan.
Hello, Questers. Thank you for joining us today. And we're going to be discussing EQ2 customer service issues, the Caldarian era, and some more on the continuing saga of Storybrick.
But before we do that, let's discuss what we've been doing in-game. What have you been up to, Lagan?
Well, this week I finished up as much as I could in the tower build, and I finished up the landings and stairwells leading up to the tower. I actually ran out of material, so I'm going to have to go do some mining to continue that. But I also made templates for everything that I had built, and I highly suggest you do that, Questers, because some of the stuff is going to be, my understanding is, some of the stuff is going to be wiped when we go to open beta. So make sure you do that.
Right. In I'm gonna say the last workshop when the Quainos builds. No, it was in Blueprint. Terry Michaels put out a Blueprint.
Yeah, it was Blueprint. Yes.
And they talked about open beta coming soon, and the speculation is mid-April for that, and there will be a wipe of all claims and characters, but your templates will stay in. So it's good advice from Lagan there to save everything you do as a template so you can get back on top of those amazing builds some of you Voxelmancers are putting out there.
Of which I am not one. Also made a new forge for my claim this week. I didn't get a lot accomplished on EQ side of things this week. I just did not have the time. What about you, Aylwin?
Well, I actually didn't spend a whole lot of time in-game this week. I helped do a little farming for Lagan. My tools are broken. I'm having a bug where my area selection tool isn't working, so I can't really build much in Landmark. And I've tried to play a little EQ, but the podcast has really taken a lot of my time this week. If you haven't checked out, our website has had a lot of work done on it this week. Our Podomatic site has come along a lot as well. Plus, our Facebook and Google Plus sites have been improved, and we're on Pinterest now too. So it's been a busy week, podcast for me, podcast wise. So I actually haven't been in game to have anything to talk about on the podcast, sadly.
Well, I can vouch for how much work you've put into that, and I know I really appreciate that, and I'm hoping that our listeners appreciate how much effort you put into that, because it is a lot better than it was before you got started on that. Good job on that.
Hey, I appreciate that, and I'm hoping all 10 of our listeners appreciate it, too.
We're up to 10?
Well, no, but I'm hoping by the time this airs.
Wishful thinking?
Yeah, that's right. You got to think positive.
Yes, of course. No other way to think. Okay.
EQ2 people. I've got EQ2 up to date. I am going to get in it because, like I said, Landmark's not being too good to me right now. So all my Landmark time, going to EQ2 soon. So I will be in EQ2 soon, and we'll have things to report, because I know you're just on pins and needles to hear about it.
Which means that he'll be dragging me along, and I will also be in EQ2, and that was a breaking story to me, but I'm sure that, well, I will be there.
If Landmark's not working for me, I mean, I'm going to, you know, need to be playing two EQ games at all times.
No, there's no need to explain yourself. We all understand.
Okay, well, that's enough of what we've been doing. Let's talk about the news for this week. And now the news from around NORATH.
Okay, in the news this week, we're going to start with EQ and EQ2 customer service issues first. And I'm about to read a story from EQ2 XAM entitled Cases Where Game Masters Will Not Intervene. And if you haven't read this, I highly suggest that you go read it. I'm going to just give you the highlights here. Zam is a wonderful source for breaking EQ2 news. Most of you probably already know this, but if you haven't checked them out, please do. This particular post was put forth by Caltheme. If you haven't visited their website, definitely worth your time. Game masters are available to assist with errors with the game and or servers, such as crashes, rollbacks, zone down, etc. Game masters will not be able to intervene with simple gameplay errors. Gameplay errors should be resolved by further gameplay, and players should use in-game means to address these errors. Some examples of situations where game masters will not intervene: deleted items. Please reacquire any deleted items through gameplay. Accidentally sold items. Accidentally bought items. Miss loots. Accidental item modifications. Renaming. Guild administration. Deleted characters. That's right. Daybreak Games will no longer help you when your guild leader disappears from the game or your 8-year-old deletes a character to make room for his new, and in quotes, mouse pirate. So be careful out there, Neurathians, and be really sure before you click yes and delete something.
Yeah, and I read that article too and was kind of taken aback. How did you receive that?
Well, I kind of understand that they're diverting resources to do other things, but it is a concern for me because, EQ2 is an older game, so is EQ, but both of them still have a fairly large client base, and I would think that they would want to be serving that client base. My particular concern comes from, we just went through the buyout and the purchasing and all of this other stuff, and the layoffs and all of that. Is there a shift in focus with this new company to where their focus is going away from providing customer service or focus on their clients? That was my concern when I read all that.
I don't know. That's sort of my thought. EQ2 is 10 years old, I think. EQ1 is
Something
16
like that,
years old.
yes.
So I can understand. I mean, really, the fact that they leave EQ1 open for us is nice. And that it still gets support and content and things like that. Most games that
This is
old do
true.
not. So we appreciate Sony Online Entertainment, now Daybreak's, for doing that. EQ2, though, is a little bit different beast. It's 10 years old. What other 10-year-old game out there is out there crushing the entire market? It's World of Warcraft. Still getting great customer service 10 years out. So I'm not really sure that that's the same excuse for EQ2, but I mean, it's not like they're not going to service the game. There is more content coming and whatnot. But how are you not providing in-game customer support for deleted characters and guild administration? I mean, some of these other things I thought were passable, but those seems like big ticket items that can
Those
lose you
are,
players.
you're right, those are big issues within the game that a GM should be able to come in and correct if there has been a mistake made. And if they're not doing that anymore, then to me it kind of starts to drive people away from that game.
Right, and you don't want to do that because I have seen no signs of EverQuest Next coming anytime soon. I mean, I think, no, I mean, do any of us expect to see it in 2015? I don't think so. Right now, at its current progress, I'll just be tickled if it comes out in 2016.
Yeah, there is a large concern in the community about that. And I don't even think that the people at Daybreak Games can tell you when exactly it's going to come out right now. So having said that, that lets all of us in the community know that it probably will not be in 2015, and it may not even be in 2016.
I don't know. I hope, surely it's 2016. We may be doing a little nerd hyperbole there, but I don't believe in 2015. For those of us who watch the workshops, which I enjoy, these Quainos series. I mean, how many weeks has that been going
30,
on over one
32, I
city?
think. 30 or 32. They've had ha
Well, episodes of the workshop, but the Quainos build has been
Oh
going on for well over a
yeah.
month. And we're and that's and it's a next thing you see when you read those when you read the comments on the videos, you see, oh, quit talking about Landmark, quit, talk about next. That is a next related topic, and I like to see the Quainos builds. If you follow us on Twitter, we're retweeting those a lot. The Landmark Explorer at Landmark Explorer on Twitter puts out, he people send him screenshots and he posts them up, and they're great. Or she, I don't know. I don't know them. Could be a girl. Hard to say. But that's not really. I mean, they were doing races for a while. We got the ogres. We got the Cairns. We got the dark elves. That's gone off to the side. The round tables don't seem to be happening anymore. The last ones were in November, from people who are not necessarily in the company anymore. So, I don't feel like EverQuest Next progress is just barreling along, and we're going to get it at the end of this year, which, I was optimistic that we would get beta sometime in the fall for it, and I don't believe we will now. But who knows? Who knows? Maybe when Landmark goes into open beta and is more settled, Next will
Yeah,
progress
I don't
faster.
think they've even announced that they're going into alpha. They've talked about it, but they haven't announced that, okay, we're starting our alpha play, and then so that has to come before they go into closed beta.
I believe they have a closed, I think, and one, I don't remember who said it, I think somebody said they have a closed alpha in-house
Oh,
for
do they?
Next.
Do they?
I believe the developers are have Next to play. And they've said in the 2014 SOE Live that the durations and the classes and whatnot are in game. Like, so it's that weird duality of what they've been saying is they keep preaching. Terry Michael said it over and over again in their AMA that when we know, you'll know. When we know, you'll know. When we know, you'll know. It was like a repeat button. But then the next sentence they'll say something like, oh, we can't wait for y'all to see these things. Wish we could show them to you now. What happened to when we know, you'll know? You clearly know. You just said you'd know. But that's their prerogative. It's not ready yet. Don't release a product that's not ready. Certainly not what I'm asking for. Just a little more Next information would be great
Well, there's
for
always a
me.
little bit of a
Got a little tangent
disconnect
there.
between what is being said and what's actually being done. And I'm not trying to say that they're trying to deceive anybody or anything. That's just how business is. You want to keep your client base, which is us, satisfied that there is progress being made. And at the same time, you want to make sure that you develop the game in such a way so that when you release it, when you go to closed beta and then open beta and then live, that the game is at least playable and at least 90% of what you projected it to be. So there's always going to be some kind of disconnect there between what's being said and what's actual reality.
In all fairness, they're doing a development cycle that's never been done before, to my knowledge. It's very open. It's player sourced, and so some give and take has to be given
Yes.
there to innovation. But let's move on from that, because we also have another big news story this week, which is the closure of Storybricks.
Yes, and that was a very sad story to be sure. We were hoping that they would be able to be doing some other things with Storybrick, but they did have to close down. And I have just some excerpts from a story that was written.
There's an article by Steve O'Hear.
Thank you. Boy, did I just. Oh, it's my brain. It was going offline.
It's from TechCrunch by Steve O'Hear, and You want me to read it?
Yeah, this is why I keep Aloran around. He keeps me alive, in game and out. So
There you
yeah,
go.
go ahead and take it away, Aloran.
So this, like I said, Steve O'Hear, I'm gonna hope I'm saying his name right. Forgive me, from TechCrunch, posted this, and Rosini and Brewer are insistent that EverQuest Next, new ownership Sony Online Entertainment, was recently acquired by Columbus Nova, which has nothing to do with Storybrooke's decision to not renew the EverQuest contract or to ultimately shut down the company. Quote, "It was our decision, and Sony Online Entertainment, now Daybreak Games, bears no fault for it. Sony Online Entertainment had been up for sale for a long time, so our exit had no connection with the Columbus Nova acquisition," they write. Instead, it was a combination of stress and continued travel between the UK and US that had, I'm going to paraphrase, had put strain on their family life. But they did, an interesting part of his article was down at the end was that Storybricks had attempted at one point to buy out Sony Online Entertainment to continue work on EverQuest Next and turn the company around. They got investors lined up and made offers. But it turned, in the end, Columbus Nova apparently got a deal that Storybricks and several other investors were not offered. So there was some sort of, you know, who knows what was on the table there that made that deal go through when the others didn't. But Storybricks' inability to buy Sony Online Entertainment combined with stress and, you know, being cut by Daybreak. Although that story came out last week that Daybreak was no longer in ties with Storybricks, it could have been because Daybreak already knew that Storybricks was going under and was being kind and not breaking the news for
them. Before them, yeah.
So I'm going to assume that that was the case. I'm going to give them credit for being nice there. But yeah, Storybricks is gone, and I hate that because the tech they came up with, a lot of innovation, a lot of heart at that company. It's a loss to the gaming industry, I think.
Definitely a loss to the gaming industry. But they did say that they were going to open a new company, and it was going to focus more on technology than gaming.
Right, and we'll be anxious to see, because those are bright, smart people. Big things are still going to come from that team.
Yeah, I don't think they're going any away by any means. They'll just be in a different area.
And they did cover, I don't believe... I'm not sure if Steve O'Hare covered it in his article, but Storybricks did say that Daybreak owned the part of the technology that was needed for their game. And so our speculation in our Storybricks episode, which was 02, I believe, if you want to go back and listen to that, Jim, we speculated that we didn't know how they had retained the ability to do that emergent AI when that was a Storybricks property. Well, now we know. Daybreak does own that, and the emergent AI is going to continue to be in the game. And I think we can all breathe a sigh of nerdy relief, because that was a crucial selling point of EverQuest Next.
How does a sigh of nerdy relief go, Aloran? Oh, that's terrible. That's just terrible. It sounded like a dying cat.
That's what I was going to say. It sounded like I sat on a cat. Which I am. It makes a great person.
Oh, okay. You just offended all the cat lovers out there.
All the cat people. Gosh. Oh, no. Oh, no. Okay.
Moving
well,
on.
There's some other news things I'd really like to go into, but we're kind of running long, so we'll probably address them on the blog. You know, the roundtables, something I'm missing. I don't know if anybody else is missing. I miss the roundtables. I want that to come back.
I do too.
And I'd like to talk about the Quainos build in depth. I know I did a little tangent earlier, but I actually enjoy those episodes. I would just like some other stuff as well. But I'd like to talk about the Quainos builds and the amazing thing the community or people are putting together, especially now that the deciduous trees are in the game. All the Quainos builds have gotten fall all of a sudden.
Yeah, they're doing some. I mean, they're doing some masterful things in there. I've looked at some of them and even followed some of the people that are building these things. And you know, I found out how hard it was to build the tower, and it did get easier as I went along. But I don't think I could ever reach the level that these guys are at.
Right. And if you want to see some cool stuff, you can follow Pentapod or Rosie Rat Report or Jay Augustine or Landmark Explorer, just to name a few. Noble Winkle, any of those people on Twitter, and you'll get some really good stuff. Of course, Landmark Game as well is another good follow for just seeing some amazing builds out there that people are doing, and keep it up. But let's move on. We're going to run a little long, I think. Hard to tell. But let's move on to lore, and you've got something for us this week, don't you?
I do. The lore we're going to take a look at this week is was found on EverQuest Next Wikia, so you can go there at everquestnext.wikia.com if you want to read the full article. But we're going to talk about the Caldarian Era. That's the first era NEQ. Now I don't know that this was in the game. I don't believe it was. This is just prehistory of EQ. The Caldarian Era was an alliance of four races which inhabited Norath during the Caldarian Era. Very little is known about them, except that an uncertain number of them formed spiritual bonds with dragons, becoming dragon knights. They all died after the cataclysmic event that ended their age, and their essences were dissolved and recombined into the races that followed once the Norl had sufficiently healed. Now, the Dragon Knights, the Caldarian had a much closer relationship with dragons. They lived side by side, shared knowledge, and ventured through the portals to explore other realms. They even founded an order of Dragon Knights, which bonded a mortal with a dragon. A spiritual connection bound the two together, and through this connection, a bit of dragon essence was absorbed by the Caldarian who underwent the bonding ritual. This essence made its way into the gene pool, though mostly in subtle and latent ways. Now we're going to continue this lore section, the Caldarian Era, but it's really too long to do in one episode, so we'll have some more of this on the next episode. What do you think about that?
Yes, I'm excited about this because I'm very interested in the new lore of EverQuest Next. And now you mentioned the Norl on that. For anyone who doesn't know, we're going to do a full lore section on them upcoming. Though that's the Earth Spirit. That's the Gaia of EverQuest of
Of
Norrath.
Norath, yes.
So, Gaia made me think of what was the show? Captain Planet.
Captain
Yes.
Planet, yeah.
Please put a Captain Planet
You're really
reference into
aging us
EverQuest
now.
Next.
Thank you very much for that. We can no longer be thought of as 20-somethings anymore because you just mentioned that we watched Captain Planet. Of course, you mentioned something else the other time that, well, that aged you. It didn't age me. But I digress.
Okay, yeah, so we're gonna go through all the new ages of EverQuest Next. Now, at the Caldarian Age, that is before the game begins. The game begins in the Age of Heroes, but they went ahead and built 20,000 years of history for the game, and that's to give some background to how the landscape can change, because not only are resources important in a game like copper and stone and things like that, like they are in Landmark and but also like loyalty and belief and things like that are tangible resources in Next, or at least that's what they're touting. And so this history is important to how NPCs and characters will react to the world.
So, what was the name of that video game that we played that your decisions that you made in the game either drove you toward the dark side or to the light side? I cannot remember that.
Couple games that do that. I'm gonna assume you're referencing Fable,
That's it, Fable, yes.
because that's what I think of when that mechanic is in there. And I think some of that may be in part of the game. I hope it is because I always love that,
Yeah, it
the whole
was
light
always
side dark
really
side thing.
cool.
But I read in the religion roundtables on the Next website, they talk about how belief is a tangible resource in the game. And you'll be able to go to places where, like, maybe the four old gods, well, I forget what they're called, they're basically elemental gods, are worshipped, and there might be small pockets of, like, giants or something that worship them. And you can, like, I guess almost eliminate a deity by eliminating their belief pool. Like wiping out that population. Then there's no one to, and then that deity will not cease to exist, sort of thing. And so all that history is really important that they've built back, because it gives credence to these things in old wars, like this god may not like that god, da 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 da. And so,
Is da 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 a word?
it's a series of words. It's a series of da.
Ah. I thought it was just a series of noises,
Well,
but
our
continue.
Morse code listeners out there just got a dirty limerick.
I'm sorry, I lost
That's all right.
it.
I am a licensed ham radio operator, and that was a dirty.
That was a dirty
That
limerick. Okay. You'll have to tell me about that later.
was a dirty lie. Okay. Anyway, I know that was discussed in the original Religion Roundtable. That was also another tangent. Well, maybe the episode title for this one should be Aelin's Tangents. because that's what it's been for the most part.
Well, yeah, I think that's important, though, that kind of realism is brought into the game because, as we have discussed before, part of the success of an MMO, especially, is how much immersion you can make your client base feel. And if you can actually make it to where the deities are or their followers are in trouble, and you can actually shape the world by what you do, or shape the religion of the world by what you do, then that's pretty significant,
Oh,
wouldn't you
yeah,
agree?
and a lot of people are concerned that none of the evil gods are in the pantheon right now. In'Naarak and K'Thul and those guys aren't in the pantheon right now. And people are like, what? Because, I mean, if you played a dark elf, and you probably were In'Naarak or.
I was about to say, what are you
Right,
going to do?
exactly. That's always
Because, you
been.
know, your necromancer is
Right,
a
and that's
dark
always been
elf.
his deity. And but they've said that those people aren't. Like, just because they're not launching in the game, like, apparently events can bring them into the world. So, like, some of the other people, as you maybe lessen their following or something like that, or maybe you'll come across shrines and get people to pray there, or you'll build shrines or something, and this other deity will emerge because of your actions.
Well, I know what you'll be doing the
That's right.
first,
So,
what, 30
since
days
you
of
got
the
a
game?
dark elf, necromancer going, I'll have to try to raise my deity. And of course, you're not. What I understand right now is you're not starting the game pledged to a deity. Your actions kind of determine your.
Which deity you start to
Yeah, or
follow?
which one affects you most. Like, there may be
Okay.
passive abilities and stuff applied upon you. So that could be really interesting, especially I guess for people playing paladins and stuff, clerics and all that. At least narrative wise. But
Well, that's about all the time we're going to have for
that's wrapping
today.
us up. You wanna tell the good people where they can find us on the various social medias?
Oh, I'd be so
All
happy
right.
to. You can find us on Facebook at NORATH News Network. You can tweet us at NORATH News Network Net.
Nope.
And you can, of course,
Try it again.
you can tweet us at NORATH News
There you
Net. Thank you. And you can also, of course, visit our website at www.news.norathnewsnetwork.com. Boy, you've really got me messed up here. This is all your
We were
fault.
just a little behind the curtain here at N3 Studios. We were discussing recording this section and just plugging it in from now on and not doing it live. I don't believe this episode will be the example we use going forth.
No, it will not be. And maybe we shouldn't do that because it seems to be very
Right,
entertaining.
I'm laughing. So
Indeed. My point exactly.
the but any of this is available on our website, northnewsnetwork.com. We now have links to all of our social media there. Don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes. and rate us, please. We'd like to hear your feedback. You can follow us and add us to a playlist on Stitcher. We're now available there, and that'd be great. You can find us on Podomatic, and of course, again, it's all on the website, and that may be the easiest place to find it all. And we have a new feature that I want to discuss briefly. We have a make a donation button, and that is a completely optional thing for our fans. We don't expect, I don't know what we expect out of it, but it's there. This is, of course, a hobby for us. It's a passion project. We enjoy doing it. We're going to continue doing it whether people donate and help us out or not. But there are costs involved from hosting and things of the sort. So if anyone wants to pitch in, a dollar here, a dollar there, whatnot, and help us out, we appreciate it. And if not, we're going to go forth anyway. But the button's there, so if you want to help out, awesome. Thank you so much. Right now, we don't have
Alms, alms
alms
for
for
the
the
poor.
poor. I almost labeled the blog that. Because my daughter and I watched the Robin Hood Disney cartoon the other day, and
Oh, cool.
I hope maybe in the future we'll have something. Maybe like if you do that, you get some sort of, I don't know, some sort of token or something like that, for the forums or whatnot. But our forums aren't even really working yet on the website. We're working on that, so keep in mind. We'll keep you posted here and on the website.
Indeed. All right, questioners, that's about all the time we have. We want to thank you for listening. And stay tuned next week for more EQ
Yep,
goodness.
that's going to do us. So may your journeys on Earth be safe and your adventures in Norath be epic. Until next time.
Bye.